Okay, good afternoon, everyone, or good evening. Thanks for showing up. All right, I'm going to put this in presentation mode. Does this look right to everyone? Okay, so for everyone in the audience online, if you want to ask a question at any point, just use the raise your hand feature or put a question in the chat as well. So should we get started? Okay. So hello everyone. Thank you for coming here. We will be discussing the Moving Forward Together 2050 plan, which is our 2050 Metropolitan Transportation Plan. So first, this plan is created and managed by MPOs. An MPO is a metropolitan planning organization. So getting into what an MPO actually is, it's a federally mandated organization, and it's federally mandated for urban areas with populations over 50,000. And so the Savannah area has well over 50,000. So that's why it has an MPO to manage its transportation planning process. Another thing that the MPO does is it facilitates collaboration. So we work with multiple jurisdictions, multiple counties, and organizations within our planning area, and we all collaborate and facilitate at multiple meetings throughout the year. We also allocate funding to transportation projects and plans, and then we also create transportation plans to address regional needs and priorities. So moving into the MPO planning documents that we produce, so we produce several documents, and these are only a few of the many documents that and plans that we create. So the topic of this presentation is the Metropolitan Transportation Plan at the very top. But we also create a transportation improvement program, congestion management process, our public participation plan, and our Title VI non-discrimination plan. And then we also create a bike and pedestrian plan. And then we manage all of this with our Unified Planning Work Program, which is kind of a guide to developing these other plans. So what is the core MPO, which is the MPO for the Savannah region? So the core MPO is its planning boundary, which is shown here. Does the transportation planning for everything within this red and blue boundary. So that includes all of Chatham County, portions of Effingham County, and then small portions of Bryan County as well. And so this MPA boundary was adopted in February of 2024, and we'll start planning within the boundaries of this year since it has been adopted. Additionally, we have multiple boards and committees, the core MPO board being the actual policy board. So the core MPO board sets regional and long-term transportation policies, prioritizes projects, and also approves the long-range metropolitan transportation plan and some of our other short-range planning documents as well. And then this is just a description of the voting seats. And how many voting seats people have on this board. So as you can see, Chatham County Commission has 3. Effingham County has a couple of seats, and Savannah has a few seats as well. So moving back into what the Metropolitan Transportation Plan is, it's a long-range document, and it sets the region's transportation system investment policies and priorities. It also projects the region's needs for the next 20 years, and we also update it every 5 years. It also links our transportation system with regional land use, development, housing, and employment goals. It's a plan that's multimodal in nature, so we focus on multiple forms of transportation, be it highways, freight, or bike and pedestrian travel, for example. And it also importantly, it results in a fiscally constrained prioritized list of projects. So within this process, we identify needed projects within the area, and we rank them according to a criteria, and we use that criteria in order to see which ones we should be pursuing first or which ones are most important to the region. So in short, the Moving Forward Together 2050 plan is the blueprint for the Savannah region's transportation improvements to meet mobility needs. For this specific update, It covers 2025 to 2050, so a 25-year timeline. And the expected adoption date for this plan is August 7th, 2024, so that's coming very soon. And again, it's multimodal, so we include highway improvements, freight, transit, bike and pedestrian improvements, and environmental considerations. And underneath each of these bolded titles are some of the other plans and products that we produce that contribute to this plan, such as our freight transportation plan, Chatham Area Transit's master transit plan, and also the non-motorized transportation plan. So moving into the development process, so we involve the public and stakeholders from the very beginning of this process and also involve the use of transportation-related data in this process. And so we use that to forecast future conditions in terms of congestion and population, for example. And we use that, all of this data from surveys, from the census, from forecasting future conditions to create a vision and goals. And that also led to analysis and evaluation where we could create strategies for transportation, land use, and investment. And from all of this data and all of this input, we created a financially constrained plan of recommended projects. So there were three rounds of public involvement in this process, first one starting in fall of 2022, and then we had a second round in 2023. And so now we are in the final round of public input where we are asking for everyone's opinion on the draft plan and then also that financially constrained project list. So we're coming to the very end of this process. And this shows just how close to the end we are and where we started. There is still time to give your input on this plan for us to incorporate your comments into this plan before we adopt it on August 7th at the Core MPO board meeting. So this is just showing the estimated money investments, so revenue projections for different modes of transportation. So for example, we see that the revenue projections for highway projects is over $1.4 billion. For operational improvements, you see it's over $200 million. For non-motorized projects, it's over $74 million. And then also for transit, we see it's $33 million. So it's a really heavy investment in our transportation system. Overall, it's an estimated $1.8 billion of financial investment in our transportation system over the next 25 years. So this is a map of the highway projects specifically. There are more projects outside of these within the plan. These are just the projects that are within the financially constrained plan. So you can see we have road widenings and new roadways marked, and then also bridges, interchanges, and overpasses, which are the blue dots. And then we also have the projects listed as well. And so these are the projects that were listed in this previous map. So if you would like, you can go through these projects. You can actually find this map online with the projects listed out. But we have projects all over the region, including Chatham County and the different municipalities. And as you can see, Project Durin is up there. We also have several projects in Effingham County, for example. We also have projects that were awarded grant funds and new formula funds as well. For example, we have this new project that was added for electrification and the use of electric trucks. So that's pretty big in a port town like Savannah that sees a lot of truck and freight traffic, which can affect air quality, for example. We also have projects that were carried over from our previous Metropolitan Transportation Plan. So a part of this process is looking at our previous plans and documents and making sure we're not forgetting anything. And we move those plans that were previous in previous plans and we move them into our existing plans as well. So that just makes sure we're not losing anything. And then we also have some newly identified projects that weren't in previous plans, such as the State Route 21 widening or the US 80 widening, for example. These are also our set-aside policies for maintenance, operational improvements, transit, and non-motorized improvements. This just ensures that money is going towards these other forms of transportation needs and investments. So a lot of money is going into highway investments, but we want to make sure that we're still investing in transit and we're still investing in non-motorized improvements and we're still investing in those operational improvements. So those set asides allows us to set aside money just for the investment in these types of transportation improvements. And then this is just a list of our transit projects as well. And you can also read this online in more detail on our website, which I will show soon. So coming to the end of this, this is the big ask. We need everyone's opinion soon, just because we are coming to the end of this process. So it would be great if everyone could take our surveys, which are still open, and they will be open until August 7th. You could also follow us on social media. We have a Facebook and an Instagram. And then you can also go on our website as well. And our website is where you will find all of the information that we presented in this presentation. So that's where you will find the draft plan. That's where you will find some of the images that we have, the maps that we have, the tables. And it will also be where you can find some of our surveys. And then this is also our contact information as well. It would be great if you have a comment to send it to this email, mtp2050@thenpc.org. And just to reiterate, we are coming to the end of this process. So we are accepting public comments until July 30th. So please let us know what you think of our plan, of our project list, of our goals and objectives, of pretty much everything. And we will incorporate those into the Metropolitan Transportation Plan before it is adopted on August 7th. And so I think that's it. Is there anything you want to add, Waikota?
Okay, we have somebody over here who's interested in non-motorized transportation plan, bike path plan. Just want to let you know that we have the set aside. So that specific projects will be identified in the non-motorized transportation plan, bike path plan. We currently already identified more than 400 projects. Our policy is to recommend barrier separation for all the bike lanes. So to also make connections to the sidewalks and the bike paths. We are also, we just established a bicycle and pedestrian advisory committee, that will have the first meeting next Tuesday. So they will oversee the implementation of the non-motorized transportation plan. So we want to make sure. And then also we are developing a grant application for the bicycle and pedestrian study because we want to do the inventory of the bicycle and pedestrian facilities in terms of their connection, their condition, like striping, and also lighting, trash, and like ditches. So we're doing the inventory of that. So that's part of the grant application. And then also another thing is that we want to make sure if we do have, for example, if the city of Savannah implemented, they do the restriping for certain roads for bike lanes, we want to have a database to track that. And then if there are new developments in the subdivisions, we will work with our members, the Quorum members, because all of the jurisdictions, all of the municipalities within the three county area actually are our MPU members. So we want to create some kind of a process. So if they have a new subdivision that installed new sidewalks, we want to make sure it's included in our database and also have connections. So you are welcome to provide input on that. So that's for the bike path. I know you provided some input on the like designs before, I think during our first round of public involvement. So I think that will be it probably incorporated into the project implementation stage.
Are you talking?
Yes.
What did I provide?
Yeah, you provided some like for like bike lane design.
Like 2022.
Yeah, during the first round of public involvement. Okay. Do you have any specific questions? You make sure you speak over here so that people online can hear you as well. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I'm Artis Wood and chair of Scenic Chatham. I wanted to ask about a couple of things you mentioned. I can get back to my paper. Is there any, I couldn't read all that. I have not yet. Is there any possibility of creating a train from here to Macon and or Atlanta?
The GDOT is conducting a study passenger train between Atlanta and Savannah, not probably through Macon. Yeah, we have to find out what that study results would be. But so far we haven't got any information yet.
You don't know when you're going to get it?
Yeah, we don't know, but we can check on that. I know that GDOT is doing a study.
Also has some information on that on their Connect US plan page. Current plan of the Georgia State University connections.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be connecting theoretically they say Savannah State University to
Amtrak.
The Amtrak Connect Us plan, although that's also just a study.
Okay, just a couple more things. Are there any plans for landscaping? I'm glad to hear of sidewalks, but landscaping is something that is terribly important for not only beauty, but taking up the water, since we're such a low-lying place and near the ocean and the seas are rising, and we're having an awful lot of puddles since we got rid of all those trees on 16.
Okay, landscaping on I-16?
Or
general landscaping?
General.
General landscaping. I think it says all the roadways are maintained by different municipalities. Like the interstate system are maintained by GDOT. Some of the local roads are maintained by the various jurisdictions. And some of the roadways are maintained. It's like a shared responsibility. For example, Truman Parkway, even if it's on the GDOT system, it's maintained by both Chatham County and the city of Savannah. So we have to coordinate with them to find out what their plans. I mean, they might have individual plans, but they might not be coordinating with each other. But we would check on that.
I would hope you have interface, even though they're different entities you have to deal with. Don't let it fall through the cracks just because several groups have. It should be an item on every checklist, in my opinion. I'm going to bother you for you want.
Oh yeah, I can also add, so we do a lot of resilience work as well, and this might not seem very related to landscaping, but we are aware of how concrete can cause issues with heat and flooding, and so that's why within our resilience planning, we have considerations for something like rain gardens so that drainage can happen, and then also being mindful of that urban heat and flooding, and we could speak to our board members about that as well and make sure. We also are incorporating resilience planning into our planning process as well. And so we could create, stronger statements about making sure we have those rain gardens and making sure we're being mindful of the amount of concrete and everything.
Yeah. And the reason I mentioned trees too, not just gardens, although that's a great idea too, is all the ecology that is disrupted, all the animals and plants and insects have a home in those places that we got rid of. There are federal funds to bury power lines, and I want you to put that on a checklist for every road you make. It saves an awful lot of money when we have more and more strong weather. And all these power lines come down. You don't have to fix them. You don't have to have power outages if the lines are buried. So yes, there is some amount of expense to bury them, but the federal government is helping us on that. And one more thing. I'm glad to see you adding the word widening. It used to be everybody puts in improvement, and improvement turns out to be that they take out 100 homes and cut down 1,000 trees. Well, that's not improvement for some people. Are you improving or widening Durin any place farther west than White Bluff?
Project Durin, there are three projects, Durin, in three projects included in the project, big project Durin, concept. One is building a flyover from Montgomery Street, through, New Hempstead Avenue and then connect to White Bluff Road.
Yeah,
that's west. And then another segment is between, not that bypass, just Montgomery Street to Abercorn. And then another segment is from Abercorn to Truman Parkway. But those segments, I don't think those are like widening project. So those would be like more beautification project or like raised median and then grass and then landscaping. Yeah. Actually, City of Savannah has the Project Durin website. You can just check the concept. Yeah, on that.
And the flyover, is that in there?
I-16 flyover? I-16
flyover
is in on the project list, yes.
It's in this plan?
Yes, in this plan, because City of Savannah got the earmark funds last year. They started to do the IMR, Interstate Modification Report. So in order to, because previously CORMPO did the IMR first, and then FHW, the Federal Highway Administration, indicated that since CORMPO is not implementation agency, see, they refused to review that IMR report. So basically that project stalled. And this time, since City of Savannah got the earmark funds, and then we actually coordinated with GDOT, so let GDOT take over. So GDOT is the project manager for the interstate modification report. When that one is done, so basically they're updating the old report that we did. So, but there wouldn't be any excuse for FHWA to review the report anymore. So that means this project will carry forward. So
is it part of this core plan?
We actually included some money that the reconnecting community, the portion of this. So which is the next step between, besides that scoping phase. Yes, so they updated the GDOT will update the IMR report. FHW will have to review the report and then we will see if it's possible or is it feasible, we will just carry forward. And the City of Savannah actually got the reconnecting community grant to do the next phase, which is they do, I think, the concept development and then public involvement portion of it. Because we did the I-16X ramp removal study several years ago. We already have some kind of like layout. You restore, like basically the street pattern, the grid pattern. Yeah. For, some communities. I don't remember. It's like 32 blocks or something or 22 blocks. I don't remember, but it was included in the project description.
Yeah. About 10 years ago, Ann Charette's.
Yes. Years. Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
So I noticed that a lot of the money being earmarked for new projects on this is going towards road widening projects all around the core area here. I want to know, like, what is the study process on determining the necessity of road widening, given that it seems to me the main outcome of road widening is usually just increasing vehicle speed? But increasing vehicle speed hasn't generally been shown in research to be very effective at reducing congestion and is shown to be very effective at increasing road danger, which I know is kind of a loaded question. But I see a huge amount of money being earmarked for road widening. And overall, on that budget up there, we're spending almost 200 times as much for automobile transportation projects as we are for non-motorized vehicle transportation projects, when I'm pretty sure that the actual mode shares in the area are not 200 times as many car trips as walking and pedestrian trips. I just want to know kind of how we ended up deciding on the necessity of that kind of project.
Okay, the project selection process is basically through various studies. So we have several regional studies that we have completed. The GDOT has a Coastal Empire study. And Quorum PO completed the regional freight transportation study. We also completed congestion management process. And also, we also have the GDOT also created the travel demand model, which is model. So those are the four, regional studies and the plans that we rely on to select the projects. Remember, we are talking about Federal Highway Administration funds. Yeah. So we do project selections through the regional studies first. And also the current 2045 plan, it already has a financially constrained plan, project list, and then a vision plan. So those six were the regional studies and plans. You do project selection. So we have a big matrix. So if it's recommended by the congestion management process, check. If it's by freight plan, it's a check. And then besides that, we also have corridor study and sub-area studies, like 307 corridor study, US 80 corridor study, State Route 21 Access Management Study, and the President Street Grid Elimination Study. And then we also have like Effingham County Transportation Master Plan. So those are sub-areas. And then Belfast Keller Road Development Plan. So those are sub-areas. So if they confirm the needs identified through the regional studies, is a priority. And then we do the prioritization. That's how we select. That's how we select those highway projects. But we also want to, because we do the survey. Survey is another method for us to select the projects. Like people want maintenance projects. Actually, the top survey is want to maintain the existing system. The number two survey is that we want more bike and pedestrian improvements. So during the survey, we know that people want more bike and pad, and we know that we want barrier separation. And then we check the mode share. In Chatham County, the bike pad mode share is 3%. In Effingham County is 0.6%. And in Bryan County is less than 1%. So we decided want to use 3% for region wide. So we want to reserve the FHWA money, that's 3% of that money for bike pad projects.
But we're only using roughly 0.5% of the total money pool on those projects. Because you said it was about $74 million devoted to non-motorized transportation, and you said it was close to $1.4 trillion towards road, or $1.4 billion towards road, is that correct? So that's only about 0.5%.
Well, if you for the first 4 years, for the first 3 years, 2025, 2026, and then 2027, the mode share of the bike path project is actually more than 3%. Because we already have three projects, Chavis Road improvements and Garrard Avenue improvements, and then Green Island Trail. So those three projects, so the cost band one, you already have like $38 million. That's more than 3%. That's more than 3%. It's like later years, 2028 to 2050, we actually use the revenue available that we actually have 3%.
Well, I guess my comment is just that it seems we're, I guess in that case, my comment is just that it seems we are spending a really outsized portion of total budgets towards roadways compared to the mode share of motorists. It seems like, especially considering roadways are more expensive per trip and all of these things, that we're really over invested in the roads as it is right now, which of course, since I don't really use them that much, I do have a biased sample here, but if we're spending $1.4 billion towards all the roadway projects in the current plan, and we're spending more like $75 million towards all the bike things, and we're assuming 3%, $75 million is a lot less than 3% of the total budget. That's just my concern here.
Yeah, we can calculate, but I'm pretty sure bike path share is more than the revenue allocation is more than 3%.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure of that. And also I also mentioned we also have a transit improvement. So some transit improvements also probably made connections to the bicycle and pedestrian improvements as well. Because the most of the transit improvements come from the master transit plan and transit development plan. And the CAD also completed the bus stop inventory study. That's their first phase. That first phase is the prioritization and implementation. We also allocated some federal highway funds to transit projects. So those can be used to improve the transit capitals as well.
We don't have too many people. We can have a small conference here. 35 years ago, Ed McMahon, not of Johnny, here's Johnny Carson, but a senior fellow at the Urban Land Institute wrote an article and said, Atlanta has created the widest road in the history of the world, and yet it's still crowded. We cannot build ourselves out of traffic, especially if you're going to have one or two people in each of these vehicles. So you're saying bike or walking or travel by car. But again, where are the trains or the buses? And also to regulate and push people toward mass transit being effective by price point is important. I mean, if we really were serious about climate change and we were serious about not making our whole state pave so much, we would change the prices and gas would be $10 a gallon and parking would be $10 an hour. So we have to be careful and not just do surveys from average Joes that, you know, they are happy to be asked and give their opinions, but they're really not perhaps trained well enough to see the big picture of the effects of just widening roads and making everything comfortable for the car because it's so convenient. I probably said enough.
Yeah, thank you for the comment. We understand that public transit is actually one way to relieve congestion. So we want to make sure that it contributes to congestion management process, the transit improvements. That's why we allocated, we actually set aside federal highway money to help CAT to improve the transit service because they normally receive FTA funds. But the problem with the federal dollars for the public transportation is that normally they are not supporting operations. So you can only spend the federal dollars on transit capital improvements. So what our goal is to, we can probably allocate some federal highway money to CAT and in combination with the FTA funds they receive so that they don't use the limited resources. They have the local resources on capital projects. So we will help them out with the capital improvements. And then they can use the rest of the money, the majority of the money, local funds they get for operation. So, but there is still a lot to be desired for, I would say, for the public transportation. I mean, the headways. I mean, for probably number 14 is the only one that has like 15-minute headway, right? 15-minute or 20 minutes, because I use 17 because I live off of Berwick Boulevard. I use 17. If I miss my bus, the next one is like 1 hour away. So yeah, there are still a lot to be desired for, but we're trying to help as much as we can. So you really cannot just build it like right now. It's just because we don't have that much money to get everything done. What do we want?
Well, it's priorities.
Yeah. Do we have anybody online that wants to comment? Okay, no comments from online. Any more comments that you have? So we try to be, I think compared to the previous plans, we actually already allocated more resources to transit and then the bike path. And we also have more comprehensive study on resiliency and then more on equity. So actually during the project prioritization, on the access to transit, access to facilities, like libraries on those. I think Asia might be comment on more on that. So we actually consider resiliency and equity in this. This is the first time that we add this.
One more thing. Wishing
for and imagining a train from here to Atlanta. Why don't we put it right down the middle of 16 and 75? Then you won't have to create accumulate more land. Quit widening with concrete for individual cars, for individual people. Set aside that median if necessary. I love medians on highways, but if you could put a train there, why isn't the right hand talking to the left about this? Trains, a train right down the middle of 16 and 75.
Okay. I think they have a lot of considerations for the trains. Because I'm Chinese, right? So we have a high-speed train network in China. The high-speed train network is not making money. So all the public transportation, actually, you're not making money. But the good thing about it is that it's actually make connections nationwide. And then there are a lot of social benefits. So especially the poor areas, the trains go through and you actually bring economic development along the route. But the problem over here is I think dense population density is a major consideration. You just don't have the density to support it. That's still not enough. You know, the high speed train between Beijing and Shanghai, the population, you know, the population along the route is 300 million. So over here, Atlanta has 5 million people. Savannah has like 300. So in our region, we have about 350,000. And Macon, I think is smaller. And then along the route is all rural. So it just, it's very hard without the population density. And also I don't know whether the federal government would like to invest this, knowing that you will lose money. But it's public service.
Well,
so
we spent several billion dollars subsidizing oil and gas. Trains need to be subsidized. And that's because you're going to save a lot more money by not doing other things because you got the train that gets a lot more people in this smaller space.
My comment on that is let's improve the Amtrak first. If Amtrak can just provide better service and you set a good example, because just right now, I don't think it's feasible in less densely populated areas. Yeah, you're welcome to go to China because they have like 144-hour visa-free policy right now. You can just go over there and you can just take the high-speed train and experience yourself. Because I normally go over there, I take the trains everywhere. And then I ride the bike. Actually, we have barrier separation. All the bike lanes have barrier separation. So I feel pretty much safe. I don't have to like wear a helmet. I would say the public transportation system over here in this country still has a long way to go. Okay, thank you for coming and make the comments. Yeah, if you want to send more comments, you can just go to our website.
Also, for anyone still online, there was a lot of discussion about bike and pedestrian infrastructure, and so I want to invite everyone to our very first Bike and Pedestrian Advisory Committee meeting that will happen on July 30th. So if you go on our website, there will be a registration link for that. This is the first Bike and Pedestrian Advisory Committee for CORMPO, so we're really excited about the progress we can make with a focus on specifically bike and pedestrian transportation, because we know historically there has not been much focus on it. Here. Tuesday at 2 p.m.
Yeah, you can join a virtual.
All right. Have a good night, everyone.
Yeah.